From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 25th day of July, 2017. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. A bit later in the program, the folks from the USDA state offices will be here to update conditions in their regions. And we'll hear from Mark Formo. He's a farmer that I talked to last week at Anheuser-Busch's Grower Days. He and most other farmers in that state have primary crops of corn and soybeans. He's outside of the Red River Valley, just by a few miles, I suppose, about 85 miles due west of Fargo. And he'll update us on conditions of the crops there, at least as of last Thursday. And then, of course, we'll check in on the weather forecast, too, that with Don Day at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. On this Tuesday afternoon, we're joined by Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Things overnight started for the soybeans in what I suppose most farmers would have thought was pretty good shape after USDA's reports yesterday afternoon.
Quite a lot of enthusiasm as they looked at that, Todd, and a lot of people were very thrilled overnight, but then they got up to disappointment this morning after the forecast changed a little bit and added a little more rain to the western corn belt and a little cooler temperatures down the road a little bit. So the weather market seemed to trump the ratings market right at this time. We do know that, of course, beans, August is their month, and if we can get the months to straighten out a little better, well, maybe they can come bouncing back. But all in all, the technicians took over today.
Have you talked to the technicians or Dan or somebody else about today's market and whether it's done any damage at all?
Well, you know, we had a higher high in the trading session. We had a lower low than yesterday in the trading session. We definitely closed lower on the day. So whether it's going to be a key reversal or not, just an outside day reversal down, it's going to be technically disappointing to all the technicians looking at the charts today, tonight, as they look at things. And this is in the wake of, Ag Resource put out this morning their news wire that they were taking the bean yield to 46.5 and the corn yield to 163.5. And, those numbers would seem to support levels we're at or below at now. So, I mean, it does look that way. But, you know, one of the big crop advisors today recommended selling corn and beans both at the market for 17 and 18 crops. And then one of the other big advisory firms said they wouldn't sell anything here, wouldn't sell anything below $10 November beans or $3.80 December corn. So quite a difference between the recommendations by the different firms.
What are your expectations for the rest of this week? And by the way, I was taking a look while we were talking there at the weekly charts, and you're right, not only on the daily, but even on the weekly, we now have an outside week. So it'll be either outside up or down, one of the two.
You know, as we look here, I mean, basically, we do still have some areas that are worry, and probably in the southwest Iowa, eastern Nebraska, Missouri, and South Dakota still haven't got a lot of rains and aren't scheduled for a lot in the way they're looking like that. So, you know, we do need to see some rains in those areas. And I think one of the things to look at, the last time crop ratings were 64% or lower, good to excellent in the corn, was 2013, and the final yield ended up 158. And that's where everybody said that basically we could shoot to 425 corn and 1050 beans if it was those sort of yields. So it's a very complicated thing out there to look at, but definitely technically a bad day here today.
The USDA has some interesting charts that I picked off of their website. I showed you one of those. The Iowa corn numbers went down last week. They went down again this week, and they've dropped pretty dramatically. It's got a pretty rough part, I think, in the USDA audio we'll hear in just a bit here on the radio station. 90% of what they now term as South Central as opposed to Southeast are in part of of Iowa is under short supplies of topsoil moisture. So this may be a rough time, although, as you mentioned, the weather forecaster for calling for more rainfall there. So we have to watch everything closely.
The later noon forecast was lightening up some of the rain in Iowa for tomorrow and that. So we'll see if that, whether they get as much as what's called for.
All right. So what are farmers calling and asking you about other than why the market dumped today?
Oh, you know, I think it's this is surely the bottom, isn't it, is the big question that's being asked. And we have to say we're not sure. It sure looks like it should be by the crop ratings and what it looks like. But by the technical picture, you have to be very wary.
And that and the seasonal picture would normally say this is the time for the markets to turn lower, too.
Yes, it would.
Have you heard anything about early harvest from Texas to the Delta region?
Yes, I was talking to one of the guys down in southern Arkansas, has started harvest. That's about 21%, and it's coming in, I think, about 140 to 150 or so on what they'd heard so far. But that was, you know, just a few farmers and not much good information there yet.
Yeah, it would be extraordinarily early, but there are a few farmers that are picking up some crop at this point, corn in particular. What about the rest of the marketplace? What are you watching?
Well, I think, you know, it's gonna, the dollar has been under pressure. Crude oil seemed to want to rebound a little bit. You know, we've had everything that should have tried to help stabilize our markets, and we're still seeing them go against us. And, you know, it's just very disappointing when there's good news and we get bad results at the end of the day. So I think that the funds are probably going to continue to liquidate a little more, Todd.
Thanks so much for the time, and we'll talk with you again next week.
Thanks, Todd.
That, of course, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. You can hear him again in all of our programming, in fact, on our website at willag.org, willag.org. You can also find us in iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and one of my favorite ways to listen to the programming on NPR One app. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows as of the 23rd day of July, or Sunday, actually probably more like Monday morning, because most of these reports are collected at that point, 67% of the corn crop had silked. The rolling five-year average is 69% across the 18 reporting states. 8% of the crop is in the dough stage. That's normally 13%. And the condition of the crop is a bit worse than it was last week when it was 51% good and 13% excellent. This week, the corn crop reported at 49% good and 13% excellent. By comparison, last year, those numbers were 57% for the good category and 19% for excellent. 69% of the soybeans have bloomed. That's what compares to the rolling five-year average of 67%. 29% has set pods compared to 27% on the five-year average. And the condition of the soybean crop has also deteriorated, down 4 points from last week. 47% good, 10% excellent. Last week, those numbers were 51% and 10%. Now, here are the folks from the state statisticians' offices with updates from Illinois, Indiana, Minnesota, and Iowa.
This is Jacob Lyle, student intern for the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service Upper Midwest Region, with the Iowa Weekly Crop Progress and Conditions Report. Activities for the week included hauling grain, applying herbicides and insecticides, cultivating, and haying. Over 90% of south-central Iowa's topsoil falls into the short to very short moisture level categories, while 99% of northeast Iowa's topsoil falls into the adequate to surplus categories. 74% of Iowa's corn crop has reached the silking stage, 4 days behind last year, but 2 days ahead of the five-year average. Corn conditions deteriorated slightly to 2% very poor, 6% poor, 24% fair, 55% good, and 13% excellent. Nearly three-quarters of the soybean crop was blooming, with 30% of soybeans getting pods, 1 day ahead of average. Soybean condition also dropped slightly, with 62% rated good to excellent. Crops were described as suffering from heat stress and lack of moisture across much of the state. High temperatures and humidity were reported to cause normal summer heat stress to livestock. That is the Iowa Weekly Crop Progress and Conditions Report. I am Jacob Lyles, student intern for the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service, Upper Midwest Region.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Rainfall was mixed across Illinois last week. Northern parts of the state were several inches above normal precip levels. Central and eastern parts were also wetter than average, but southern areas were short of normal rainfall for the week. Overall, the state averaged 1.8 inches of rain, more than 3/4 of an inch above normal. Topsoil moisture is now rated 12% very short, 21 short, 59 adequate, and 8% surplus. Looking at the corn crop in Illinois, 83% of acres are now silking, compared to 88% 1 year ago and 85% for the 5 year average. 7% of corn acres are now in the dough stage, compared to 22% normally. The condition of the corn crop improved slightly from last week and is now rated 11% very poor to poor, 26% fair, and 63% good to excellent. For soybeans, 77% of acres are now blooming, compared to 74% last year and 71% normally. 33% of acres are setting pods, compared to 30% 1 year ago and 29% for the 5 year average. The condition of the soybean crop declined from 1 week ago and is now rated 14% very poor to poor, 27% fair, and 59% good to excellent. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, reminding you to participate in the Census of Agriculture coming this December.
This is Tyler Heap with the USDA National Ag Statistics Service, Minnesota Crop Progress and Condition Report. Scattered rain and warm temperatures allowed for 4.5 days suitable for field work. Activities for the week included baling hay and isolated aerial spraying of pesticides. The corn crop was 61% silked, 5 days behind last year. Corn crop condition rated 80% good to excellent. 70% of the soybean crop was blooming, 8 days behind last year, and 3 days behind the 5 year average. 20% of soybeans were setting pods. Soybean condition remained at 72% good to excellent. 52% of spring wheat was coloring, 5 days behind average. Spring wheat condition rated 84% good to excellent. This is Tyler Heap with the USDA NASH Crop Progress and Condition Report for the week ending July 23, 2017.
This is Jessica Lemonager with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report. High temperatures and localized heavy rainfalls, delayed harvest progress and spraying activities. Weather patterns varied throughout the state, with the heaviest amounts falling in northwest and south central Indiana, which left both corn and soybeans in standing water. Early planted soybeans appear to be showing signs of improvement despite the rains, while late planted soybeans appear yellowed and stunted in some areas. Farmers applied fungicide to corn fields due to the increase in rust from the hot and humid weather. Weed pressures have increased and have been challenging to remove given the above average rainfall. Some pastures have been overrun with various weeds. Many acres of hay and straw were cut, but some were unable to be baled from the storm systems at the tail end of the week. Corn was 67% silked compared to 74% last year and 74% 5 year average. Corn was 5% doughed compared to 9% last year and 8% 5 year average. Corn rated in good to excellent condition was 55% in the north, 40% in central, and 48% in the south. Soybeans blooming were at 68% compared to 68% last year and 69% 5 year average. Soybeans were 28% setting pods compared to 33% last year and 31% 5 year average. Soybeans rated in good to excellent condition were 56% in the north, 41% in central, and 48% in the south. That concludes this week's Indiana Crop and Weather Report. This is Jessica Lemonager reporting.
Our thanks, of course, to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress during the growing season. Well, on this show, we've been talking a lot about North Dakota and the impact it has and continues to have on the marketplace. It's now the number four producer of soybeans by acreage in the United States. I visited there, of course, last week. You can read all about that on our website at willag.org. And while I was at Anheuser-Busch's Barley Grower Days there in Moorhead, Minnesota, Fargo, North Dakota, I asked a few farmers about conditions in their fields. Mark Formo is from Litchville, North Dakota. He's about 80 to 85 miles to the west of Fargo. He lives outside of the Red River Valley, and he told me what crop conditions were like for his corn and soybeans.
Yeah, the Red River Valley, the soils are much better. It holds the moisture really well here compared to where we're at. We're really rocky. We got hills, we got knolls, we got sand. Our clay is probably 10 inches down. Where here, I don't know if there is a bottom for the clay.
What do conditions look like in your corn crop today?
Our corn crop, we're starting to suffer. It's definitely not level. We're starting to tassel. Some places are tasseling. Some is only a foot tall. So we're all over the board. The low areas where the moisture is good looks fine, but they're not very big areas. Our first field is starting to tassel. I got a neighbor that he was in really early, and that field is completely tasseled. He's probably lucky. We're still cool at night. We know heat at night is not good for corn when it's tasseling.
If you had to put a number on your corn crop today, what would it be?
As far as bushels go, I would say we're going to be 75% of what we have been, at least, probably 50%. But the last 3 years, we've had phenomenal corn crops.
So that was my next question, 75 or 50% of the three-year rolling average, but of the 10-year, you're at 85%?
Yeah, I would say we're at 85%, you know, maybe 90% of a 10-year. And
so
corn is,
ADH.
Yeah, and corn in our area is pretty young yet. We're really getting into corn. 15 years ago, there was hardly a cornfield out there.
That's all it is.
How about soybeans?
Soybeans on our particular farm were a third corn, probably a third wheat and barley, and then the rest is going to be soybeans. And the soybeans, they still got a chance. I mean, we're a week away from a drought. They're starting to blossom now. They range anywhere from a foot to probably 2 feet tall right now.
How long have soybeans been in your rotation?
Same as the corn. Once we started on corn, we used to be sunflowers major. So when we started on corn, we needed something to no-till into the corn stalks, and that's what we did there. So we no-till right into the corn stalks, which is the best thing for, as far as I'm concerned, about corn stalks.
Why is it that you began to plant corn?
Sunflowers, we were getting ate up by blackbirds. We lost hundreds of pounds an acre to blackbirds, and we just needed something else to do. That, and we know varieties and all that stuff is phenomenal as far as corn goes. I mean, we try to raise anything from an 82 to a 95-day corn. I got a guy in our area that's raising 105-day corn.
Are you concerned at all that your crop is behind at this point for the year? I mean, how late is it really, and does that give you any concerns on the back end when it turns cold?
Yeah, we're behind. We got out there at a decent time, but it's just such slow going, I guess, when you get drought and excess of heat, stuff quits growing too. I would say we're 2 weeks different from last year, which was we were early last year. Who knows what this frost, you know, what our fall will bring. Frost can, we've had it as early as the end of August. That could kill everything off. So we got to cross our fingers and hope for the best.
That's Mark Formel, a farmer from Litchfield, North Dakota. I spoke with him last week at Anheuser-Busch's annual Grower Days for their barley producers in Moorhead, Minnesota, at their malting plant. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Tuesday afternoon. It's the 25th day of July. Don Day is here from Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Don, let's check the weather forecast. It's changing now. How is that happening?
Well, here we are on the back end of summer now, and we're really on schedule in terms of a way a lot of the pattern is unfolding with the normal summertime high pressure in the nation's midsection wobbling back and forth. When it goes to the west, we sometimes see drier conditions as it moves east. We can see moisture able to come up out of the southwest United States and into the northern plains and portions of the western Corn Belt. And really what we see coming is a continuation of surges of moisture rotating around that high in a clockwise fashion. A lot of times some folks will call this the ring of fire, where you get showers and thunderstorms that develop along that ring around that axis of high pressure. And so from the central and southern Rockies through the South Dakota, Nebraska region into Iowa, those areas, some portions of the northern and northwestern Corn Belt are going to see most of the activity in this ring here in the coming week when it comes to rain.
Do you have estimates for coverage and total rainfall?
Well, there could be quite a bit. This is especially true in Iowa, portions of southern Minnesota, northern eastern areas of Nebraska. There could be 2 to 4 inches of rain or more in some of those areas over the next 7 to 10 days. We see that also getting into some of the rains that could be 2 to 3 inches in portions of central, southern, western Illinois. We see it drier in the eastern Corn Belt. As you get into Ohio, Indiana, some of the eastern Great Lakes, it doesn't look as wet. The precipitation is going to be more focused in the northern and western areas of the Corn Belt.
The rest of the week, this week and next week, much of the corn, especially from the Mississippi River going west, will be in the midst of pollination. High temperatures are always a concern. Do we need to be thinking about stuff that's above 90, 93 degrees?
Well, there are going to be some warm days through there. Do I see excessive heat? I don't. Reason for that is going to be a fair amount of this precipitation is going to help cool things off a little bit, and the mean winds aloft will be coming in from a more west-northwesterly direction. So I don't see any real heat. Where I do see the heat is in the further western areas of the nation.
And finally, if you can switch parts of the globe and look at China, I take it that the areas in the northeastern portion of that country, which have been under pretty droughty conditions, have now begun to experience quite a bit of rainfall. Do you have any assessment of what's been happening there?
It has been dry in those areas you mentioned for sure, and there has been a return of precipitation. If we look at soil moisture conditions in those areas, we still see that while there has been quite a bit of an improvement in those areas in the last week, they're still running a moisture deficit, at least on the soil moisture profile.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
And, of course, is Don Day. He's with Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us here in the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. A couple of quick items. If you'd like to listen to our programs again, you can do that off of our website at WILLAG.org. Look us up in iTunes, Stitcher, or use the NPR One app. We're on Google Play as well.